Hey everyone, welcome to the Magical Healing the World podcast. My name is David, here with my lovely wife, Miss Megan.
Hey everyone.
And we are so pumped to be back in it talking with you all. We're relaunching this podcast. This is going to be a super special episode, a season premiere of a new season, and a really new focus. These episodes are going to be just Megan and I having really deep, intentional conversations about the healing journey. We've now worked with thousands of people over the years at all different capacities, hundreds of different ayahuasca ceremonies, and there's so many beautiful things to update you all on, especially when it comes to Megan's healing journey. A big topic is going to be that, getting you fully up to speed on Megan's healing journey. There's been some divine occurrences over the past year and a half that have really changed so much. And we're going to be discussing the reality of spiritual warfare. A lot of communities, a lot of spiritual communities don't like to talk about that. They really like to, and there's no judgment in it, to each their own, but they like to just pretend like everything's love and light. And we have not quite experienced that. There's a very real spiritual war that tends to be going on right now. But there's so much beauty in it at the same time. So we're going to be discussing different parts of that. And let's jump right into Megan's healing journey. I think the last thing we spoke about was the beauty of all these demonic things being released from powerful ayahuasca ceremonies with our teachers. And while that was quite profound, there's been so much more since then. What do we want to start out with?
Well, first of all, I can honestly say that I've sat in hundreds of ayahuasca ceremonies, and I know that at one point I would have never thought ever that I would be able to say that. So yeah, to say that we've continued to do the work, you know, is an understatement for sure. But yeah, you know, it's been a very powerful journey. It's been ups and downs, you know, frustrations with, you know, having so much healing, releasing so many dense energies that needed to be released out of me. But then just knowing there was just still so many things, so many other layers, you know, so many, you know, diseases that I've healed, but then just still so many other symptoms that were just hanging around, you know, healing the things that I've healed that's been so powerful in the past. Through, you know, releasing dense energies with ayahuasca was, you know, so many things, you know, lupus, Sjogren's, rheumatoid arthritis, Ehlers-Danlos, fibromyalgia, interstitial cystitis, IBS, insomnia. I had PTSD, anxiety. I had, I've had cancer cells on my cervix. I mean, I've had so many things. And I had leaky gut, you know, to the point where I barely could even eat anything without having horrible reactions. You know, I was severely reacted to soy, anything that had canola oil. But then it was just like anything, like dairy, you name it. Like, it was crazy. The list went on and on and on. And it was really, you know, really taking a toll on me, you know, but I didn't give up the hope. I kept continuing sitting in the ceremonies because they had provided me with so much healing. You know, healing all of those things was so profound. But, you know, when you can't eat a lot of things, you know, you're reminded every day of it. And it's really frustrating. And I had horrible fingernails that, like, I would just bite down to, like, there was hardly any nail. And I was so ashamed of it. And I was so self-conscious of it. And go ahead.
One of the things I was going to mention, what was beautiful and how so much of it is a divine orchestration, ayahuasca got her to a point where God was like, look, it's time to help others heal. So it got her to the point to be hyper effective. And anyone that sat with us in ceremony saw the beautiful work that she does. So we were kind of put in the position to help others heal deeply, which we're really grateful to have an amazing team and be very efficient at doing that over the years. But Megan was helping others so deeply while still going through her processes on these other layers we're going to talk about. So it's been so beautiful.
Well, and it was just so frustrating for me because, you know, I think my 15th ceremony was when that demonic thing came out of me and then the insomnia was healed. You know, so at that point, so many things were healed. But then it was just like after sitting for like 100 more ceremonies, it was just like, gosh, I mean, yes, each time I do it, I feel better and it expands my consciousness and my gifts and all of these things. And it's amazing, but it's like, why do I still have the food intolerances, you know? Why am I having like severe inflammation, and why am I having just like in crazy, crazy digestive issues, you guys, like crazy. When I talk about being bloated, it's beyond that. We're talking about stomach distension.
You look like you're pregnant in a couple of
days. Yeah, I mean, crazy, you guys. And I'm a small person and I work out and I have a flat stomach, but like I never had a flat stomach because of inflammation and digestive issues and all of these things. And then I had connective tissue stuff where, you know, sometimes my stuff would just pop out of place, you know, easily. And my neck alignment with my atlas would lose its alignment. And then I would feel just really debilitated, you know. And it was hard to, you know, keep up with a workout routine, which was really frustrating for me and my trainer. You know, we were both really frustrated with it, you know. Just when you think I'm like, all right, this is going great, I'm about to get really, really, really toned, then guess what? I would have
a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it was really, really frustrating, you know. And I notice now, I can tell that I used to breathe really fast. I had a fast heart rate. I would interrupt, especially David, and it wasn't from like a rude place. It was from like, oh my gosh, I was excited. I'm going to forget what I'm going to say type, you know, thing. Nonetheless, you know, that's, you know, not a habit that I want to have. I was always raised to have good manners, you know. You know, something that was really interesting that I noticed for a while, and I didn't say anything to David for a while because I was ashamed of it and I was bothered by it, but I was really aware of it. But something I noted, and I knew it just had to be some sort of like weird trauma response. But then I was like, I don't know why, because basically I was spoiled as a child and got a lot. Even though I went through horrific things, I had family members, you know, like grandparents and aunts that did spoil me, you know, nonetheless. But I was never a brat, you know. But like when things didn't go my way, I would get wrecked, you guys. You know, literally, I would get so, it would almost run my, you know, at least half of my day, you know, if something didn't go my way. And I was like, oh, why am I like this? I am not a brat. Like, why am I letting this like ruin my day and like just completely wreck me and get me off centered? And really, it was hard for me to feel truly centered, you know, because I was always feeling just overwhelmed and just, very overwhelmed. You know, I had intimacy issues. And that's something that, you know, I've been trying to heal forever. And obviously it's from the severe trauma that I endured as a child, the sexual abuse, the physical, you know, abuse was, you know, I'm lucky to be alive, you know. So like it was severe. So of course those things, you know, could contribute to intimacy issues. But like at the same time, I was just like, I don't know though, because, you know, when I met David, you know, I had been on Xanax. Thank God I'm not on that. I haven't been off that. I've been off that for years and years and years now. But it served a purpose, you know, to help me cope, you know, at that time in my life. And I was able to, you know, be intimate with him in the beginning. And then once we got me off that on my early, early stages of my healing journey, pre-ayahuasca, everything started hitting me, you know. And so the healing journey was crazy after that.
All came up at once, yep.
Right, you know. But I just didn't understand, like, why I wasn't able to be intimate again, you know. And that was something that had been an up and down journey for, like, all throughout this whole ayahuasca process of me healing and learning and teaching and healing and learning and, you know what I mean, and healing. And so it's been really frustrating for me, you know what I mean? And I've tried to stay, you know, hopeful that, you know, and I just keep on this path knowing it's healed so much that I know it can heal it all and everything is healed in layers. And I've been through a lot than the average person. So, but at the same time, I was starting to feel, you know, like just a little beat down, you know. It was really hard for me to stay calm and just be able to enjoy life to the fullest all the time. And so, yeah, it was a very frustrating journey, but something really cool happened. Well, before I will tell you about the cool part, I think this is the perfect segue to talk about, we have two beautiful new teachers that have contributed to part of what I'm going to share with you with my healing. But before, because you guys don't even know that we have two new teachers. So we're not going to share their names just because I like to protect my shamans, but we have two divine teachers that have the most cleanest energetically medicine I have ever taken. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the first time that I can take medicine and go through deep healing processes and purge, but like, I don't suffer. You know, I don't suffer, and I feel very connected, very blissful, beautiful visions. I actually, this is the first time ever that I'm like looking forward to drinking the medicine, and I'll actually go and I'll actually drink 3 cups, you know, but with this medicine, 2 is all I really need, you know, and it's a tiny, tiny amount, and it's like just so strong, but beautiful, such a beautiful medicine, and it was divine how they flowed in and the timing that they flowed in, and yeah, I'll let David chime in on that.
Yeah. And again, we've learned so much since the last time we've been on here. So we're going to be doing a few episodes to get you fully caught up. But these two indigenous shamans, I just can't put into words. You know, again, we're not going to share their names for their own protection and respect for them. But one of them is considered one of the 3 most powerful shamans over in the Amazon. He's the chief of one of the tribes over there. And this medicine is just so, we've drank, I mean, hundreds of times, and there's something very special and sacred about this brew. And it's really interesting how this had to happen. You know, one of the deep lessons I had to go through, and this is something I really want to share from my heart, is you never want to put anyone on a pedestal, like anybody. You know, we had some of our initial years ago, some of our initial teachers that I'm so grateful for the experiences with them. But discernment is so, so important. There is a divine orchestration in everything. So they served a beautiful purpose in our experience. But you really have to be hyper aware that people can take advantage of other people. If you have a pure heart out there and you're working with the right intention and doing things with a clear heart, there are other beings out there that will take advantage of that. So you have to use your discernment in that. And we went through a really rough phase over the past few years of coming to light with it. The past year, coming to light that some of the initial teachers we had actually didn't have our best interest at heart. Again, it was a beautiful orchestration because what God did was make it really aware to us. So we had to step into our power, increase our energetic boundaries. And when we did that, it moved these other beautiful, indigenous, incredibly powerful shamans into our experience to begin working with and learning from and growing with.
Yeah, and we still have some of our other teachers.
Oh, yeah.
We still have, because we had several. So we still have a wonderful team. There's just a couple that shifted for good reasoning. For our highest good. But what's so beautiful about it is that everything happens for a reason. And as soon as God removed these couple individuals, he brought us these two powerful teachers, these two shamans that David was just telling you about from the Amazon, that one of them is referred to one of the top 3 powerful shamans in the world, and I get it. Why? And, you know, I've never had anyone provide this level of healing on my gut up at this point. I've had lots of healing in the ayahuasca ceremonies, don't get me wrong, for sure, and all my teachers have been very powerful. But this was crazy. So I sat with, I've sat with both of these shamans, but at first it was just one of the shamans and his partner, who's a female. And it was a private type ceremony, a small type thing.
Deep in Colombia, in his little village.
Right, yeah. And what was crazy was there was all these kids there, though. They had children. So, like, they were, I'm talking, like, anywhere from probably, like, 6 to, like, 12.
Yeah.
And you guys, they were drinking the medicine. So I was so scared, because up at that point, anytime I'd sat in ayahuasca and had to do deep healing, I suffered. Like, it was always profound at the end, but my gosh, did I suffer. And here I am seeing all these little kids go before me. So I'm like, what the heck? You know, they're all drinking it. And I see this one little girl going out in the grass and, like, puking with her mom. And I'm just like, OMG. So I'm like, okay, I got to put my big girl panties on. You know what I mean? Like, I cannot, like, not do this now. So I took my first cup, and I purged. It was nothing crazy. I was really wanting it to be gentle because, like I said, at that point, it really had never been that gentle with me ever. And it really was. It was like the most efficient medicine I've ever had. It would just go in there, find what needed to come out. It would get it out, and then I'd be able to relax. And I'm like, whoa, That's different. And then cup two, same thing. You know, I think on my first ceremony night, I only had one cup. We got there at like 1 a.m. By the time we get to this place, it was crazy, you guys. Talk about triggering stuff. You know, ayahuasca does not want me to be comfortable. That's the lesson always for me. And first thing, whenever we get to Colombia, Bogota, my bags don't arrive. And I'm like, what the heck? I don't have anything. And I'm going, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. So I didn't have any of my things, but so, and then it was, you know, it was after a 7-hour flight, and then it was like a 6-hour drive to get to where we were going. And so by the time we get there, it's 1 a.m., and I'm like, what? We're still drinking tonight? And so it was so late, I only had one cup. But let me tell you, this medicine's powerful, so it still did stuff. Then night two, I had, I think, 2 cups. And then on my third ceremony, night three, I had 2 cups, and they like all were the same, just quick and efficient. Some gave me rest. I had visions while I was resting. We were able to lay in a hammock, which was cool, much more comfortable than being on a yoga mat. But then I was just really not going for that third one. That I just wasn't. I'll be honest. I was not going for the third one. I was like really enjoying relaxing in my hammock. And one of my good friends, who is one of my teachers, comes up to me and he's like, Megan. And I'm like, no, I know that sound. And he was like, come on, you came all the way here. How bad do you want to heal? You always say that. Like, you know you came here to do this. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, okay, I got this. And so I was like, can you please just tell him poquito? I just need really small. And because I am really sensitive to the medicine, and this is like really good, strong medicine. And he did. And what was funny, jokes on me, I got super pumped because all he got out was a like tablespoon. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And he just gave me a tablespoon of the medicine and he blessed it. Olympia, he kept saying for cleaning. And let me tell you, I did not realize how powerful that little tablespoon was going to be until the following day, actually until I left. But I do want to back up before I go into that. What was cool about this experience was on night one, he did a one-on-one cleaning on me, this powerful shaman who's so loving and just, I love him. And then and very God-centered. He gives all the credit to God. Mm-hmm. And then on ceremony two, he did the one-on-one healing with me. And y'all, that is something powerful. And let me tell you, his partner, that female that I was telling you about, I mentioned, she is a powerful being.
Tobacco.
Her lineage and her family is tobacco. So she's a tobacco shaman. And what was crazy is they were working together and she smoked, you guys, I'm not kidding you, she smoked 30 cigars back to back. I can't even fathom. And like she was strong, like not affected. But what this did is it allowed her to see all this black energy in my gut. I knew I was not crazy. I knew I had gut issues. No one's been able to figure it out. No one's been able to find anything. You know what I mean? Like crazy, crazy severe symptoms. You know, no other shaman. All my shamans have been so powerful, amazing. But like, it just has not happened. And I don't really feel like it was like necessarily because I've already done so much work either. I really feel like there was specific prayers, and this medicine is very special. I do feel like there was a lot to it with it being these people. And anyway, she saw this all this black energy and told the shaman. And so then he started doing the cleaning on me or the healing on me. And it lasted a while. And then they both were like running to the jungle to purge after working on me like quite a bit. And I did notice, so then I leave, right? And remember that last ceremony I had on my third cup, it wasn't a cup, it was a tablespoon of medicine. Well, and it's such a divine spirit intelligence because it could have started in the car, but it waited. We had like a 3 or 4 hour drive. No, it was a 6 hour drive back to Bogota to where we were going to get a hotel. And as soon as we got to the hotel, I was going through it. I am not exaggerating. I was basically, like, I did shit myself. And I was going to the bathroom every 10 to 20 minutes for, like, the first 3 days. And I even took a bath. I was miserable. And, like, I even didn't even realize it. And I went in the bathtub. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was, like, crying like a little baby. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't go anywhere. Like, I mean, we had to travel home, you guys. The next day, we had to get on the air, a 7-hour flight home. You know what I mean? And we had to retreat, I think, in 3 days. So, yeah. Like, it wasn't like I could just stay in Bogota. And so, like, it was a miserable flight for me, for sure. And, yeah, so first 3 days were like that. Then it was every like 2 to 3 hours for 12 days. And I couldn't be like, I had to be near a bathroom at all times. So I've never had medicine clean me out like that. Like, that is crazy, you guys. And it's exactly what I needed. It got all that black energy out. Now my gut just needed to repair. But it got so much out. So much, such a big chunk that I could tell a difference. However, oh, and then, you know, they also gave me things to do at home. For 2 weeks, I was to take twice a day a charcoal bath with the water, the warm hot water, actually hot water up to like where my breasts are. And then twice a day, I was to make this green drink that they said the Holy Spirit told them to tell me, and it's been profound. It like cleansed you out like crazy. Like,
horrible tasting, but effective.
Oh my gosh, it cleansed you out more than coffee ever thought about it. And like, if you're really backed up, it might take three of them. And then like, if you do it twice a day, OMG. And it is, it was parsley, cucumber, lime, garlic, celery, aloe, cactus. And cactus. Am I leaving anything out?
I think that's it.
That's it. And then some water and blend it. And then I did that for 2 weeks and crazy cleaned me out. I swear it was like doing a 100-day juice fast. Better than any juice fast that I've ever done, doing the green juice. Way more powerful for me in my experience. And then so powerful that I've continued to do it, not always twice a day, sometimes just once, and it works. It always works. I've started to add pineapple to it, so it tastes a tad better. It doesn't taste a lot better because it's just overpowered with all the other stuff, but it does still work, and it does not change the outcome of the drink as long as you don't put too much of the pineapple in there. But like, yeah, life-changing. And the other thing is the shaman said that my spirit told him that I am to wear something for protection. So I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to share the things that I do for protection, because that's kind of part of it as well, to keep yourself protected. But this guy was really, really powerful, and this helped me so much. However, I still was having issues with the neck alignment stuff sometimes coming out of place with the, and like the connective tissues and like my back. I was always just so gristly and lumpy and tense and in pain. It wouldn't happen a lot, but I would still deal with that, you know, sometimes, which was really frustrating. And the thing that was really frustrating is that, you know, if I wanted dairy, I could have it, you know, that did heal. But soy still rocked my world. And it's not even like I want to eat soy, but soy is in everything, you guys. It's literally in everything, pretty much. Colombia. And anywhere we go, it's just in everything. And so I was frustrating. Like, well, I just want the soy reaction to be healed, you know? And really, really frustrating. And I definitely still breathed fast, talked fast, interrupted, fast heart rate, things like that. But the gut issues was the most frustrating thing that I've been dealing with, you know, my whole life. I was able to heal the fingernail biting by doing an emotional body code session with a lady that I highly recommend that used to go to our retreats and had a lot of healing, and now she's doing that for a living. And it really, really helped me remove things energetically that were still there. So for example, to give you an example, the energy, even though I quit taking Xanax and Klonopin like 7 years ago, the energy of those were still hanging around in me and causing weird things to happen in my body and with me emotionally and physically, all these things. And by removing that energetically, things were able to change. So there was all these things in just like an hour call that we were able to energetically remove. And by the way, I've tried everything for my fingernails. I've done hypnosis, so many things, and it worked. I have long, beautiful fingernails now. But the final piece to my healing, I'm sure David probably wants to share something before I go into it, is crazy. It literally still blows my mind that it could be so simple and give me all the healing that I've ever wanted and needed and deserved. And it was truly the most miraculous, divine experience of my entire life. And I have never been so thankful.
Yes. And I want to wait for that just for a minute because, my gosh, I can't reiterate how special it is what we just experienced with that. I just wanted to go over my experience a bit with this incredible shaman. You know, we all have spiritual abilities. We all have spiritual gifts. Most of them lie dormant because of the energy of suppressed trauma, suppressed emotions. Sometimes it's the energy of doubt. There's been so much doubt pushed into us. But as you begin diving into your spiritual path and doing your internal work, really deep internal work, it's like they start to open up and unlock, and it's really beautiful. And for those that have sat with me in my ceremonies that I facilitate, you already kind of have an idea of some of my spiritual abilities. Well, whenever I went to sit with this shaman, I went through a deep, difficult process with his medicine, and it was so beautiful. That's one of the things I love so much that I've been blessed to learn from my teachers is when you step into the spiritual work, as powerful as it is to serve, you've got to make time to maintenance yourself. You have to make time to get worked on yourself. No matter who you are, it's so important. So when I went to him for maintenance, I went through a deep process, lots of purging, lots of internal work with him in those 3 days. But what he did was shift my gifts. He basically upgraded my abilities, which I didn't know about until the next ceremony when I began serving, to make my serving more efficient, to make my abilities in ceremony more efficient, to make me a more effective vessel for God and ayahuasca to use for helping others. So the benefits of working with these incredible beings, I just can't put into words. But I had an experience where I was able to get my gifts upgraded and even more efficient for my path and my work. And I really want to get to Megan's experience because let me tell you, this, it's so divine and it's so well orchestrated. You know, I want Megan to share this, but I'll just kind of set it up for you because we didn't even realize the...
Well, first of all, the whole reason why it started was because my gift and how I use it at retreats.
Right.
And if you want to...
Yeah,
start so by that, Megan, that's really what like triggered the whole thing to even happen.
That's right. So again, we all have different gifts and abilities. Megan's one of a very unique that I've never seen something so just so unique in her gift. She has the ability to take on other people's ailments and take on what's happening with someone else. She can be around someone.
So I'll be a channel, I'll be the channel and I will take on their pain, their suffering. I will sometimes, I'm learning, the shaman has helped me, the one we were talking about, and I'm doing much better. Used to, I would just literally become someone's personality, and I would just completely become them, their mood, their personality, everything, to the point where it was not good. And so I've learned how to really make it more of a superpower and manage that better. But I can also take on the physical pain. And
we had no idea early on like what was happening because she would like change or transform sometimes at these retreats or any time around healing, and she would just become something else during this, and we didn't know what was happening. So it was a really interesting time period to like figure out what was going on. We knew it was something in the spiritual realm, and we knew there was a gift involved. Didn't seem like it at first for her. She went through a lot trying to figure this out, but yeah, she's really learned how to make it become a superpower.
Well, and sometimes it still doesn't always feel that way.
yeah.
You know, so what happened was at our most recent healing retreat in Belize, which is my favorite retreat that we do. It's so amazing. But I took on the shoulder pain of someone dear to me there.
And the shoulder pain's been happening for years, and, severe shoulder pain.
Yeah, and she's been suffering with horrific back, and I can now say, horrific shoulder pain. I have so much compassion for her. She's aware that she knew that I took it before that I knew that I took it from her, and her shoulder pain is now gone. But then I suffered for over a week. I didn't even share with her that I was still suffering at the end of the retreat. I didn't want her to know. And so she had thought that I had transmuted it in ceremony, at the last ceremony, but I had not. And I would say I had it for probably, I had it for a few days after several days after the retreat ended. So over a week, I was carrying this pain to the point where it felt like I needed to be on an operating table, which I would never do. I have a quantum healer I would call before I ever did that.
And this is just recently, y'all. Like, we just finished this Belize retreat, so.
Yeah, and it was debilitating. I mean, I really was having a hard time functioning. I mean, there was no, oh gosh, I feel so sorry. I don't, because that takes away her power. But I just have compassion for her, what she was feeling, because there was no position that I could lay that would take it away. And it hurt every time I breathed. Kind of like if you like break a rib, it hurt every time I would breathe. And it was just excruciating. It truly was. And if you want to go into like how we left the retreat, we came to this really beautiful private island. We wanted to just, you know, get away for a couple of days at the end of the retreat and rejuvenate before we would go back home.
Yeah, I mean, words don't express how, and we're so grateful to do the work, but man, these retreats are super intense on us. We go out to do them. We have our beautiful team that comes with us and the courageous souls that make it to do this kind of work.
Well, this particular retreat was really intense on us because not naming any kind of names, but there was witchcraft done, and it was done on our team, and it's nothing, like, we're all powerful and we do not fear, like, you know what I mean? But that stuff is real. It, you know, to turn an eye to it is really foolish, in my opinion, only because I'm speaking from experience. You know, I don't know if I would have believed in all of that prior to actually experiencing it. You know, it is real, but it is something that we transmuted in our ceremony. We did two ceremonies that were just our team, and with the intention of clearing that.
Yeah, so when you commit to do this kind of deep work, as we've done for years, when you make that internal commitment to, you know, to God, to your purpose, to help people heal at the deepest levels. I'm talking about healing generational curses, talking about healing from people that need exorcisms, for people that have ailments that are not of this world. Those people, that's one of the reasons why people find our team, because they need help with something not of this world that is plaguing them. But when you do that, that is a big disruption. You're disrupting some things going on. And, you know, just like, and we're just speaking from our experience, doesn't have to align with everyone, but just like there's a benevolent, loving force out there, there is another force that is running the world pretty maliciously and evil. And those forces become aware of the work that you're doing. And there's a lot of little things they do to try and sidetrack you. And because we've done this work.
And they will plant things. They will use people as prawns, and they will plant things to get. It's crazy the amount of, but you will know who are your true friends and who are not. And you will know who was able to be strong and use true discernment and who's not. Who is not, who is able to cower and not use discernment and fall for lies. And, you know, one of the things that I love that I'm able to realize now that I have a regulated nervous system, you know, before it was like, oh my gosh, everyone hates us. Why we're doing, all we have is good intentions. We just try to help people, you know, and the people that hate me, some of them that know me are people that I've only done loving things for. And it's like, no, Megan, there are way more people in this world that love you, that use their discernment, that see you, that appreciate you, and That I'm thankful for.
Yeah, because it's not easy. It's not easy doing this kind of work and putting your heart out there, always having good intention, and then, you know, other beings that are not ready to go that deep into their healing fall for the different kind of malicious and deception out there and can think horrible things of you whenever you're literally just working from your heart with the best intention.
And someone like me that had a dysregulated nervous system, it would completely crush my world when I felt like someone else betrayed me. Someone else spread a lie, or they believed the lie, or like, you know what I mean? It would completely devastate me, and I would just bawl and just be in my room for days, just devastated. And then I realized, a beautiful being helped me realize this, that first of all, I am no longer using the word betrayal, because I don't want this to keep happening. I do not give consent. And actually what it is that these people were just showing me who they actually truly are. Mm-hmm. And for that, I am thankful.
And to explain, take just a moment to explain what a dysregulated nervous system is. So when you go through any trauma, whatever it is, either it's abuse, whatever, any kind of trauma that you experience, if after that trauma you don't yet have the ability to regulate because you're young or younger, and anyone around you, like family, whoever you're around, if they don't, they're not necessarily safe people because they also haven't healed, then the nervous system never learns how to regulate itself. So now there's a dysregulated nervous system, which means that you're basically always in some kind of state of fight or flight. Now, if you're always in some kind of state or fight or flight, any little thing is going to cause more than a trigger. You're kind of in a way almost always triggered on a small scale, because you have this dysregulated nervous system that's always in kind of a fight or flight. So any little thing that happens can just throw you over the edge. Remember when Megan was talking about earlier, when something didn't go her way or something she was looking forward to? Well, if you go deeper into that, because the unconscious was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to have a little bit of relief from this dysregulated nervous system. And then if that doesn't happen, it just impacts it more. If something triggering does happen, it makes it nearly impossible to center and respond from a healthy place when your actual nervous system is dysregulated, which we weren't aware that was a root.
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
And on top of that, some of the symptoms of a dysregulated nervous system are GI distress. Literally, so your body is constantly sending energy to this fight or flight system, so it doesn't have the energy to regulate food digestion. It doesn't have the ability to sleep perfectly, even if sounds come up or whatever. It doesn't have the ability to center or come to these places. There's so many, and especially if you're talking about sexual abuse, those kind of things.
I always feel like I was jumping out of my skin, you know what I mean? I never felt truly safe, you know, until now.
And if you have a dysregulated nervous system, there's a really good chance when it comes to intimacy, especially if that's linked to some kind of sexual experience that was a negative one, you're going to freeze. You're going to freeze up. It's going to be really difficult to relax.
As soon as he would, and David is amazing and I love him so much, but as soon as he would touch me, I would freeze. And it sucked because I was like, why, you know? And I mean, even if it was just he grabbed my hand, I would freeze.
And this is 7 years. I won't ruin too much of the really divine surprise of all this, but it's 7 years since we fell in love that we've been working through that.
Yeah, and it's just gotten really frustrating with the intimacy stuff. And so anyway, you know, we left the resort at the end of the retreat, go to this private island.
And that's one thing I wanted to mention. We do that. We try to do that every time because, like I was mentioning before, these retreats are super intense on us. Not only is Megan kind of taking to transmute what is going on with people with these ailments, I'm helping run the ceremonies, and it's so intense on us and our team. We always try and take a few days just to decompress and relax because, as most of y'all know, we're doing this deep work of serving every month.
Yeah, so we left. We went to this private island, and we're trying to have a great time. I'm having horrific shoulder pain, you know, knowing it's not mine. I'm just like, no, what do I have to do to, you know, transmute this? Like, not really wanting to drink more medicine.
We were thinking about having to drink medicine, just me and her, just to try and help this.
And I would have done it if I would have, like, felt like that's what I needed to. I was like gearing up to have to do that, you know, but we were planning on like having our LSD day because we do that every once in a while for connection. It always brings us back and it's just a beautiful bonding. Like it brings us to our most divine, authentic selves. Yeah,
for those of you that don't know, or if you're newer to this podcast, LSD is a very special, sacred medicine for Megan and I. It's
we fell in love.
It's how we fell in love, and it's just really as wild and difficult and beautiful, but all the challenges we've had with this path, this is a sacred medicine that Megan and I take to come back to.
We always say it's like ayahuasca for the mind. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so powerful and so divine and so sacred, even though it is not a plant medicine. I do feel like it came from galactic beings.
Yeah,
I don't believe anything they say, but that's a whole different topic. So we decided to take LSD, and you know, on LSD, things can be amplified. So if yummy food is going to be even more yummier than normal if you're able to eat on LSD, which we are. But if you have pain in your body, it can amplify that pain. And that's exactly what it did. I was having a beautiful experience where we were at and with each other, but like I was in such horrific pain. It was just, I was barely able to function. And so I was just like, David, you've got to like rub me like deeply. I need a deep tissue massage. Like it's just excruciating. I feel like I need to talk to a surgeon, which I won't do, but like it's bad. It was really that bad, you guys, like really, really bad. And what's crazy, I guess, because I swear when you were on LSD, you can feel like you're superhuman. Mm-hmm. And we normally just take one. We took one. And then like an hour later, something told me, my higher divine self, told me take a half more. And so we did that. And David was giving me a back rub. And do you want to share? Because tell him how long you had to rub me. Because, you know, I had actually gotten 4 massages at the resort because I was, you know, hurting and they weren't really helping me much, you know, because it wasn't not enough time. I had so much trauma, like hurt trauma in my body, and then just so much that I was carrying that I have absorbed and just taken on, you know, just from so many people. And because of that, where was I going? Because of that, I was able to
built up so much tension in the back and the neck and the
shoulders. That normally, you know, it's not enough time for them to rub all of the gristle and the knots out. And so for the first time in my life, I've never had a massage where I left and all of the gristle and all the knots were out of my back. Like it's just literally been impossible. Not enough time for these people to do it. And so since David was on LSD and I was in such horrible pain and he could tell that the massage was at least like hurting so good, right? Like I was just like, please just don't stop. This helps. And because of that, I was like, please keep doing it until every gristle and every knot is out, David, please. I was begging him, and y'all, he did. And guess what?
Yeah. So we took it at 2:22. And there were little breaks throughout.
We prayed over it, blessed it.
Oh, absolutely.
Intention.
Very sacred. But we started at 2:22, and I basically massaged her really hard, deep tissue massage for 7 hours.
And just on my back, just on the shoulders of my back, nowhere else on my body, just where I was having, like, holding all that energy, because I knew the pain was an energy.
Yeah, we felt something start to shift as we were doing that. And as I was really intentionally going deep along the spine and the shoulders and the back, just going deep into it, and it shifted. There was this really divine shift that took place. And we're still pulling this apart, man. This just happened, and it's truly miraculous.
And we're seeing all these beautiful UFOs and shooting stars. How many shooting stars?
Oh, my gosh, like 8 or 9. It was beautiful. But there was some kind of shift that took place right near the end, and let me tell y'all,
right at the end of 7 hours, like it had like
9:22.
Yeah,
9:22.
It was right on the dot of 7 hours. All of a sudden, all my pain was gone, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, you got it! It's gone!" And I could not believe it. And I started moving my arm around because I could barely move it. I was moving around. I was fine. I was like, "Oh my god, baby, I could do yoga right now." What? And so then I got up and we walked around, and I was just like, "Oh my god!" And I was just in shock because I couldn't believe it. Because then all of a sudden, David was like, "You're talking slower."
Yeah.
And he's like, "You're breathing slower." And I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. And then as the night went on, he was like, you were so different. And I could tell I was so different. Like, I could tell I was so different. And to the point where I was like, I've never known what it's felt like to be in a normal human body. Like, and I got really emotional, like, thankfully emotional, but, like, so emotional and crying because for the first time, you guys, I've always had to have a special pillow. And that half the time doesn't even help me. And I never can, like, in yoga, I quit doing it because I couldn't ever bend my neck back, couldn't do, like, the neck back and stuff. Like, my atlas could pop out. And it just always felt like it wasn't smooth. It was felt stuck. My body felt like it needed WD-40. I felt like I was, like, in an 8-year-old's body. And I felt like all of a sudden I got, like, this new body. Like, I'm in, like, this 20-year-old body. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the heck? And then the next day, my stomach was like flat. And it didn't like have this little distension out that it always has had. And then I had something with soy and it didn't react at all. And I was just like, what? And then Dave was like, you're not interrupting me. I was like, babe, that's because cannabis. I get excited. I don't want to forget what I'm saying. Because sometimes I used to use it because of the dysregulated nervous system. And I don't, by the way, I don't even need that anymore. If I ever use cannabis now, it's going to be every once in a while because I enjoy it and it's not because I need it. But it has all of the things that I told you that I had. I can't believe it. All of them were rooted from the dysregulated nervous system. So my abuse was the root of everything because it was so severe. If you listen to my podcast one, you'll know my story. It was very severe. And because of it, it caused the dysregulated nervous system. And then because of all the things that kept happening, even like recently when just people kept showing me who they were over and over and over, it was just taking a toll on me, you know, on my nervous system to the point where it was real, real bad, guys. And all of that has been reversed. I'm no longer in fight or flight for the first time in over 30 years. I no longer have digestive problems. I don't bloat. I don't have food allergies. I don't have connective tissue, atlas alignment issues. I can crush my workouts now. My trainer's going to be so happy. No more interrupting. No more fast breathing, fast heart rate. If things don't go my way, because the universe has already tested that, I handle it like a champ. Like, even if it's something that really gets under me, I let it go. I let it go, and it's not the end of the world, and I just move on. Yeah, it's really amazing. I feel more centered. I'm calm. I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I can be intimate now. This is huge. This is huge. I'm sleeping great, and I am intimate, you guys. I can be intimate now. I didn't need tantra. I didn't need that. I knew it. I knew I didn't need that, but this is what it needed to heal. I needed to heal the dysregulated nervous system. I'm going to be able to enjoy life to the fullest now. I mean, I just feel so different, like so different that it was so shocking for like the first couple days, you know, because it was really like getting a new body. And I've never known what it would feel like to be in a normal, healthy body like this, you know? And I shifted from being anxious to just pure peace. You know, and I've just cried so many tears of thankfulness. And energetically, I feel different to others. I know I do because I'm different. And I now will attract, I'm already a powerful manifester, attracting things that everything I want. And now it's like, oh, all right, let's go because like it's on. And I'm just so thankful. So if anyone has a dysregulated nervous system, know it can be healed. If you have any of those symptoms that I mentioned, know that all of this can be healed. My journey has been crazy. It's been crazy and it's been long and I wish I would have known about these things a long time ago. In fact, I don't go to psychics anymore, but years ago I did. And guess what? A psychic told me back in like 2014 to get massages and I didn't freaking get it. You know what I mean? But everything happens the way that it should. I do intuitively feel that my case was so severe that LSD did need to be involved. And then it, you know, because it took a 7-hour massage to get me to this, you know, like a deep one. But I believe that through meditation and massage and these things that dysregulated nervous system can be regulated. And this is proof of it. And I am just so grateful, you guys. I still, to this day, am symptom-free. You know, I never knew. It was like, God, can you ever be fully healed? You know, it's like, gosh, your words are powerful. Like, I want to say you can. But then it's like, everyone's like, oh, it's spiral. It's lifetimes. It's never, you're never fully healed. But I can honestly say that I am. Or at least everything that I've ever wanted to heal that's plagued me is now healed. 100 billion percent. And I am so thankful that I am finally here. I am free at last.
And the wildest part for me, I'm incredibly grateful for everything she just said, but to witness it as her partner, you know, I've seen through the years, not to her own accord, just not being able to respond to any kind of triggers in a calm state. But it was just mind blowing to, and you know, it affected me deeply too, like, because we're so energetically connected. What I realized was, because of the dysregulated nervous system in her, there was a little part of me inside me that wasn't always totally, I always thought I had to be doing something, or I always had to be taking action, and it was hard for me to even fully
Well, we're twin flames, so let's preface it with that. We're twin flames, meaning we're like the same soul, because if he goes in the past, now he can do this. If he go in the past, if he would go and run, my left knee would flare up. If he would go in the past, have cheat and go in a parking lot and eat ice cream and not tell me, guess what? I knew, because my stomach would blow up. So like this is going to be really amazing for him too.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild, and I'm insanely grateful for it. There's this calm and peace that I've never experienced in her, and I feel it at a deeper level too. So this is a game changer, absolute game changer. And we're, there were so many things that we went through because of that, and we're still integrating it. We're still figuring out how to bring this modality to the world and do help people experience this.
I know, he keeps acting like he's got this, you don't say it, but he keeps acting like, whoa, who are you? Like he has this new wife.
Right. And it's beautiful. And it's not that I even have a new wife. It's I have a more authentic one to her being, which is so, so special for me. And we're so grateful to be able to share that. And everything aligned perfectly. Y'all, listen to this. Listen to the divinity of this. That was our, we didn't realize it till it was happening.
We were supposed to have friends come with us.
Yeah, we were supposed to have friends come with us. That didn't work out. So it just was us. It was 7 years. That weekend was 7 years to the date we fell in love.
On the day
we fell in love.
And
it was a 7-hour massage. And then I was like, oh my gosh, if there was one more seven, and I'm sitting there in the room we were in on this island, I look up, there's a picture of, there's seven fish on this picture on the wall. So it's 777. It was so divine, so divinely orchestrated for it to be 7 years to the date we fell in love, 7 hours of the massage and 7 hours of that painting. It was wild.
And then we watched the sun come up and there was this light being in the sky. And even when it was daylight and the sun was there, you could still see this light being. And then you eventually saw it just go up, 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 up and leave. It was so, so special.
So we have so much more to update y'all on. Stay tuned for future episodes because this podcast is officially relaunched. We're going to be releasing an episode every Monday, and it's going to be incredible. We have so many things to update y'all on the spiritual warfare front. We have things to update y'all on about the 2024 incredible creations. We need to update y'all on this beautiful animal haven. We've utilized the funds that we get from our retreats to help rescue animals. We have about 70 incredible rescues that 95% of them came from pretty horrible places and they've been through their own healing. There's so much to update y'all on. This is going to be a beautiful, beautiful podcast to listen to. So mark your calendars for Mondays. We're going to be releasing these episodes, keeping y'all up to date on what we got going on as we continue to learn, lean into the teachings that God's bringing us and growing our beautiful team and our family and continuing this mission of healing the world one mindset, one soul, and one body at a time.
And one animal at a time.
And one animal at a time. So if you're new to this podcast, subscribe. If you've been with us for a bit, every Monday we're going to be releasing it.
Also, I'm bringing back the mushroom ceremonies.
That's right.
Along with cannabis ceremonies, along with cannabis food spreads. Oh, yeah.
So we have an incredible 2024 planned out. We'll be talking about a lot of that more in the upcoming episodes. And just to let y'all know, we have coming up. In regards to our retreats, we are totally sold out up until January. We have a few spots in January at our Texas retreats. And then we're going to be doing our annual Belize one in May, which you're going to be seeing a lot of photos and videos of that. And Megan is bringing back the mushroom retreats, which is what started this whole thing. And we do have a few spots in December, and we're doing that again in February. So.
And we have events with the animals, too, so stay tuned for those.
That's right. Next year, we're going to be doing a monthly donation-based event to come meet all the little animal babies and spend some time and help build community. We absolutely love y'all. Thanks for listening. If this resonates with you, feel free to share it with a friend. Put it out there. We just want to get the messages of healing out and continue to help heal this world. We're going to be deep diving into spiritual warfare in the next episode, next Monday. So stand by for that and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening. Happy healing.
Happy healing.